Welcome to Nature Now, an original production by KPTZ volunteers. Nature Now is a program of information and insights about the natural history of our region. We welcome observations and suggestions from our listeners, care of NatureNow at kptz.org.
Hello, this is Deborah Kelso, host of this edition of Nature Now for the second week of January, and wishing you all a belated Happy New Year. This week, we are very happy to have Al Latham as our guest. Al worked for the Jefferson County Conservation District for many years, but he's wearing his meteorologist hat today, as our topic is exploring the weather of the Olympic Peninsula. Al is joining us via Zoom today. Welcome, Al.
Hi, Debron. Great to hear from you and see you.
Oh, we're happy to have you on. But before we get to our main topic, let's first hear the mystery sound of the week. I usually give my guests the option of choosing our mystery sound, and this was Al's choice. Though I am also partial to it. We'll play it again at the end of the program and tell you more about it. We have long wanted to do a show on the weather of this area because there are so many things that make it unique, which in turn impacts all other living organisms in the region. Al then came to mind as a great person to do the show with me, as he's often sending us his rainfall data and loves keeping track of weather phenomena. Al worked for many years for the Jefferson County Conservation District. When did you work there, Al, and what did your job entail?
Oh, I worked there from 1990 to 2011. And our job with the Conservation District is providing technical assistance to landowners and promoting voluntary conservation measures. So a lot of our work was working with farmers on riparian issues, getting trees planted through some of our programs and some stream buffers and salmon habitat restoration. And then, of course, Glenn Gately does a lot of water quality monitoring to see if the effects of our programs are working. And that's generally it. And then we have a tree sale. Hopefully every year. Haven't had it for a couple of years, but it's going on now at jeffersoncd.org.
That sale is a wonderful sale, and I just made an order myself last night. There's a great selection of plants. They're a really good price, but I would urge people to get on there and choose them now because stocks are limited, and I was coveting some Pacific dogwood, and they were already gone. So I found another couple of things that I also coveted. So anyway, the Jefferson County Conservation District does a lot of great work, and we should have you back on the show to speak about all that fine work and all the changes that you saw over that period of time. But we're going to try to stay focused on the weather of the Olympic Peninsula for this program. How did you first get interested in studying the weather, Al?
Well, it all goes back to a summer camp I used to go to in the northern New York area. And we had a little weather station, and every day a few of us would go out there and measure maximum temperatures, barometric pressure, look at the clouds and humidity. And then we would, at breakfast, we would do a report on the weather and do a weather forecast for everybody, which was sometimes accurate and sometimes not. But anyway, that got me interested in the weather and keeping track of things. And then working in natural resources all my life, very often there were weather stations that needed to be monitored or checked occasionally. So, and then when we moved here 41 years ago, I set up a rain gauge and have been keeping track of the rainfall and snow ever since.
I'm so envious. You know, I came here about 31, 32 years ago, and I have intended to do that, but I have not. This will be the year, though. I promise.
It's never too late to start.
It's never too late to start. That's what I like to think. Well, we'll get to the details of what you found over those 41 years soon. But for right now, with all our recent crazy winter weather, we should start with a bit of discussion on snow in our area. Meteorologist Cliff Mass from the University of Washington is one of our best resources in our area. And he once said that snow is one of the most difficult things to forecast. Do you agree with that, Al?
Oh, yeah, that's true. You know, temperatures over the western lowlands are often marginal for snow, right on the edge. So small temperature errors can produce huge changes in snowfall. The same with small changes in elevation or distance from the warm water. Here at about 500 foot elevation, about 4 miles from saltwater, with another ridge in between us and saltwater, we tend to get more snow and it stays longer than just down a couple hundred feet lower than us. And generally in Western Washington, there are huge local differences in precipitation because of our local terrain, rain shadows, convergence zones, gap winds, and more, plus our complex land-water connections.
Do you know what the specific range was for snowfall in terms of inches across the peninsula?
Well, in the latest storm we had, there was 3.4 inches of snow, three in Port Angeles, and about 0.5 over here in Jefferson County. But that was a really wet snow, so there's a lot more water in that snow. And the storm over Christmas, you mentioned something about that.
It was crazy. I mean, I was in the visiting in the foothills of Port Angeles, and there was a foot and a half of snow. I mean, I was just completely astonished.
Well, on the between the 26th and the 28th in Clallam County, there was 13 to 24 inches. Reported on the Kokoros website, about 5.5 over here, all told.
Yeah, when I finally made it home to Port Townsend, there hadn't been that much snow. But then, of course, there was all the ice to contend with. How unusual is it to have so many days in a row below freezing? And was that a widespread phenomenon peninsula-wide, or were certain areas caught in that ice and others melted free?
Yeah, it's uncommon in my experience since I've been out here, but not unheard of. I mean, 4 days in December, it was below 32 degrees with 12 at the lowest at the Chimicum High School weather station. So it does happen occasionally, but, and especially up here at 500 feet, it stays longer than it does down at your elevation.
Yeah, where you are at near Larsen Lake is about 500 feet. So do you know what the weather is predicted to be for the rest of the winter? And were they forecasting the winter to be this cold and snowy a few months ago? I suppose this would be a good time to talk about El Nino and La Nina phenomenon that we experience also as that drives it. Well, and I guess the Pacific Decadal Oscillation is also a big factor.
Yeah, the NOAA Climate Prediction Center has been saying that we were going into a La Nina winter, and that's the regular variation of surface temperature of the tropical Pacific is the El Nino Southern Oscillation, or ENSO. And there's phases called La Nina and El Nino. El Nino is the warm temperature phase resulting in warmer and drier winters around here, with La Nina associated with cooler and wetter winters. There's also neutral years that they humorously refer to as manada, where about anything goes.
I laughed when I heard that.
And for the rest of the winter, the forecast is there's a higher probability that La Nina will persist through the February through April period. That's cooler and wetter, but the chances are about equal for either La Nina or neutral conditions by March through May. Only way to tell is to wait and see.
Yeah.
But I think we're looking at it. We could have a pretty cold and a lot of wintry weather this winter.
Well, we have certainly seen that, but we're halfway through that. So back to our climate in general, we have what's called some people define it as a marine West Coast climate, others as a Mediterranean climate here. And what is meant by a Mediterranean climate?
Our pattern of cloudy, wet winters and dry, sunny summers is similar in some ways to Southern Europe's similar variations. So that's where it gets that Mediterranean climate name. We've got three weather regimes during the year, usually. Wet season, November to mid-February. Dry, midsummer from early July through early September. And then transition times of spring and fall.
And we also have the complicating factor of having Olympic Mountains that are this round mountain range right in the middle of the peninsula. A lot of variation.
Oh, yeah. Those mountains are our best friend weather-wise in a lot of ways. There's radical differences in rainfall between the west side of the peninsula and the east side. The rain shadow effect, for instance, Forks since December has had 117 inches of rain, Port Angeles 24, Sequim 17, Port Townsend about 18, and Chimicum 28. So Quilcene 50. We get a lot of our storms out of the south, southwest. And as that moisture-laden air hits the Olympics, it goes up and starts dumping on the west side of the Olympics and down through Clark County and around us up in Whatcom. But the mountains kind of split all this energy coming through and it goes around us. So often you'll look at a satellite photo or the weather radar and you just see this hole in the clouds right over Sequim, Port Townsend, Whidbey Island. And that's called the rain shadow. And that's why we get so much less rain than other places.
Huh. I've heard that the very driest spot is like out the Dungeness Spit and kind of heading off the ocean towards Smith Island in Victoria.
Yeah, that and, you know, like Beckett Point area, there's cactus growing. So, it's quite varied around here.
I know. It's just really astonishing. It's amazing.
And there's also an old saying that rainfall increases an inch per mile as you head south from Port Townsend. And looking at some weather data that we've gathered at all those places, we found that to be pretty true.
Huh. I mean, weather can be so complex. It's really nice when you can break it down to some simple rules of thumb. So we've also got the moderating effects of the sea, and it provides a source of moisture for us. Do you want to discuss that a little bit?
Sure. The surface temperature of the mid-latitude northern Pacific is relatively temperate, even in winter. So it's kind of not that different throughout the year. And this low-level air reaching us during winter is mild and moist. When weather comes from the east or northeast, doesn't have that tempering effect. So our coldest weather and snow is often from the northeast, affected by cold air flowing out of the interior through the Fraser River. And our warmest weather happens when there's high pressure to the east, low pressure to the west, so heat from eastern Washington flows over the Cascades. And this Fraser River outflow is responsible for those high amounts of snow in Sequim and Port Angeles.
And the wind, is it prevailing west, southwest in the winter and then more from the southwest during the spring and fall, which makes for the wet weather?
Yeah, our strongest, most damaging winds and rain generally come from the south, southwest, though sometimes it comes right from the west down the straits. In some years, we had unusually strong winds from the north, which blew down trees in Chesapeake Park. they were had grown to be braced for the south winds and not as well braced for winds from the north. And that was the same storm that damaged the old alcohol plant marina. Another wind factor for Port Townsend area is that cool westerly that seems to flow down the strait in late afternoon during summer. You're out there in your shorts and t-shirt, and all of a sudden you've got to put on a sweater about 4 o'clock. But we don't get that down here, 5 miles south of Chimicum. And a great website, if you want to see the winds, is windfinder.com. And it has real time and projected wind patterns for the whole world. It's fascinating.
Oh, cool. There's another one that my friend Fred Sharp, who loves to talk about the weather, he really likes windy.com. And it has, mm-hmm. it shows those same patterns. And you can really see how the storms are developing, and people can talk about it all they like, but when you see a graphic of it, it really makes it make sense all of a sudden.
Another aspect of wind is that as much wind as it seems to get, this is not a good area for generating power with wind.
Now, why would that be?
We just don't have the constant winds that are required to generate electricity using wind towers.
Because it's just erratic. The winds will pick up.
And then erratic, gusty.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Speaking of different things that drive weather also, we should talk about like atmospheric rivers and the Pineapple Express. What happens?
Yeah. The atmospheric rivers are relatively long, narrow regions of atmosphere, like rivers in the sky. And when you see them on the satellite, that's what it looks like, a river in the sky. And they transport most of the water vapor outside of the tropics. These columns of vapor move with weather, carrying an amount of water vapor roughly equivalent to the average flow of water at the mouth of the Mississippi River. There's a lot of water in these systems. When the atmospheric river makes landfall, like west corner of the Olympic Peninsula, the warm, moist air starts rising, the temperature's cool, and it can't hold all that water. So that's why the west side of the Olympics get dumped on so much. And the ones that affect us come from Hawaii, which gives them the Pineapple Express monitor. And this phenomenon is what supplies us with a good percentage of our annual rainfall.
So we think of this area as having really mild weather for the most part, but there can be some amazing windstorms. I remember working on the west side back in the late 80s and viewing that 21 blow area in 1921, mm-hmm. there was a windstorm that came through. And if you don't know, you'd think they were clear cuts. But what happened is there were about 40% of the trees of the forest there just got flattened. And so now they're all about 100 years old, 100 years later. They're all uniform age. It's really remarkable.
Yeah, well, Cliff Mass's books talks about some of those storms. And the 21 storm at the North Head Lighthouse, the Columbia River, they had a sustained wind of 113 miles an hour back then, with gusts to 150 before their anemometer was carried away. So that was quite the storm. I'm not sure how much effect it had up here.
There's a map in Cliff's book which shows the pattern, and it showed that there was very little impact over on the east side. And it's amazing how localized, it was big over there, but it was concentrated on the, that area just south of Forks there.
Right. Yeah, I can see that on that map there.
Yeah.
Then there's our Columbus Day storm in October 12th, 1962, that caused a lot of damage. In fact, that's what got me out here a few years later working for the Forest Service because of all the trees that had been blown down.
Oh, there were major salvage operations going on then.
Right. And over the coastal regions and offshore waters, there were gusts of 125 and 60 to 120 mile an hour gusts in the western interior. So,
wow.
And then there's, of course, the Hood Canal storm in 1979 that took down the bridge. But I mean, it was a bad storm, but basically there were some flaws in the bridge that caused it to go down.
Well, and that was the same with the Tacoma Narrows Bridge going in, was it in 1940? It was this elegant bridge and it was up from like from July. And then in October, they had this major windstorm that just, they called it Galloping Gertie. And there's footage of it just buckling and weaving and finally just blowing out.
Late 30s, I can't remember the exact date, but that was due to the design of the bridge. And they didn't have wind tunnels or didn't try to do a wind tunnel test of it. And it just set the wind just kind of set that thing going. So the videos are incredible.
Yeah, they are really astonishing. Oh, well, I see that we've run out of time for today. And we can't sign off without telling people about the mystery sound or we'll never hear the end of it. So let's hear our mystery sound again. And it's a northern pygmy owl. So if you are not familiar with these amazing little owls, and they're the smallest owl that we get here in our area on the Olympic Peninsula. And when you hear it, you'll think you're hearing this slow tooting of a distant mechanical device, not an owl. Have you heard any lately? How come they're your favorite sound?
Oh, I like them in the, you know, in the winter and at night, it's kind of a soothing sound, but it's also kind of like the whistle punk on a logging operation, on a highly logging operation where the chokers, setters have a device to signal to the operator that they're ready for stuff and that makes kind of the same sound.
Yeah, I know. It's ironic that... the saw-whet owls sound a lot like pygmies, but the saw-whets are faster. And the pygmy owls are mostly diurnal and the saw-whets are mostly nocturnal. They're both beautiful little owls. And unfortunately, they've been suffering a decline lately. And they theorize that it's because of barred owls coming into our area. We never used to have barred owls. They started invading our Pacific Northwest area in the early 70s. I think the first reference of seeing them in Washington was in 1965, and they've just exploded. And they are generalists. They take all kinds of prey, and they take those beautiful little owls too. So anyway, if you can hear pygmy owls and get a chance at seeing them, you'll be lucky. They're wonderful. They look like little teeny hawks. They're just really fierce, golden eyes, and they're beautiful. That's it for KPTZ's Nature Now for the second week of January. And thanks so much for joining us, Al. We'll look forward to picking up this conversation in a couple of weeks' time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. Our closing music will be Stormy Weather by Billie Holiday. As always, wishing you happy and safe trails as you start out on your New Year's treks and resolutions.
Happy trails. Bye, everybody.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather since my man and I ain't together. Keeps raining all the time. Life is bare, gloom and misery everywhere, stormy weather, just can't get my poor self together. I'm weary all the time, the time. So weary all the time. When he went away, the blues walked in and met me. If he stays away, old rocking chair will get me. All I do is pray the Lord above will let me walk in the sun once more. Can't go on. Everything I had is gone. Stormy weather since my man and I ain't together. Keeps raining all the time. Keeps raining all the time. When he went away, the blues walked in and met me. If he stays away, old rocking chair will get me. All I do is pray the Lord above will let me walk in the sun once more. Can't go on. Everything I had is gone. Stormy weather since my man and I ain't together. Keeps raining all the time. Keeps raining all the time.
Dungeness River Nature Center is pleased to support KPTZ programming like Nature Now. In memory of Dee and Beverly Swearingen, who taught their children and grandchildren the love and stewardship of nature, Dungeness River Nature Center, teaching generations about nature on the Olympic Peninsula at Railroad Bridge Park in Squim. More at DungenessRiverCenter.org.